Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. All right, thanks for joining us with the news of Peyton Manning retiring. Let's get a Denver perspective on his career. Brandon Cristal joins us, 760 Denver Sports Radio. How are you, Brandon?
I'm good, Tony. Yeah, it's been an interesting day. I think the timing of it worked out pretty nicely, but it's one of those things where even though you thought it would happen, now that it actually came to pass when the news first broke early Sunday morning, obviously you saw all the reaction, and I think people in Denver are excited that they'll get to be a part of one last Peyton Manning story.
Take us back to when Peyton Manning arrived in Denver. It's easy to say now that, you know, you were going to get this Hall of Fame quarterback, but there was a lot of trepidation about his neck surgery and what kind of quarterback he was going to be. When did you guys in Denver, the media, know that, hey, you know what, this guy Peyton Manning is going to be the Peyton Manning we thought, not the Peyton Manning that's going to be struggling with a neck injury?
When we got to see him in the spring, and you know, Tony, I mean, you were in Denver a while back, and I don't think people realize, as limited as watching practices once the regular season starts, that in the spring you get to watch, depending on the coaching staff and how much they pay attention to the rules, you get to watch a lot of mini camp and OTAs like one day a week. So we got to watch him throw once a week for four straight weeks, and you could tell that while it wasn't maybe what his arm was when he first got to the league or his first few years in the league, that he could definitely put the ball where he needed to and that he was going to be more than capable. And you saw that he had plenty left in the tank. Did we know that he would, a couple years in, set an NFL record for most passing yards and touchdowns in a season? Probably not. But we thought that the Broncos got away with maybe a bit of a steal. And if you knew how the contract was structured, even before we saw him take the field, you knew that they were only going to really be out 1 year at $20 million, and it got him a chance to move on from Tim Tebow, and they drafted Brock Osweiler, who was clearly Elway's guy, because that the other quarterbacks in the draft, you had Nick Foles, you had Russell Wilson, you had Kirk Cousins, you had guys that would have made as much sense as Brock Osweiler, but John Elway went and traded up to go get Brock Osweiler even after signing Peyton Manning. So, but to answer your question, I think it was in that spring you had an idea that, okay, this isn't a guy who's completely done. He's got some good football left in him, and we saw it.
In terms of making the Broncos relevant, we obviously saw that. There was a moment, though, where he wasn't, you know, he was losing in the playoffs, and people, that same criticism was popping up. How were they taking Manning's time in Denver before the Super Bowl victory?
So there were definitely people that were disappointed and said, well, what has this experiment, if you want to call it that, been about, especially following the loss to the Colts last year? And you're like, okay, well, he's had three really bad playoff losses. So, you know, just sports fans can get spoiled pretty quickly, right? So they looked around and said, well, we've paid him now $60 million, and sure, we got to go to a Super Bowl, but we got our teeth kicked in, and it wasn't all his fault, but he certainly didn't do all, I shouldn't say didn't do all that he could do, but didn't play his best game to give them a chance to win that game. They got destroyed. And so I think there were more than, it wasn't a small amount. I mean, there were plenty of Broncos fans that thought, what's it all worth? And then when you saw how he was playing this year, you really started to question, why was he still around? Why not just give Brock a chance, let the team move on? They have a good defense. And then you saw the way he played down the stretch and just played really smartly and played well enough to help his team have a chance to win and put them in the best position to succeed. And so I think that obviously when you end it with the Super Bowl run, and I know I'm going a little beyond your question, it makes it all worth it. But there were critics out there, and a lot of them, I was never one of them, because I realize how hard it is to win in the NFL, and not the level of people who played or even coached in it. But I understand how hard it can be and how teams can take things for granted. Fans can take things for granted if their team's not there or getting all the way to the big game. And then obviously hoisting Lombardi Trophy, but go talk to the Cleveland Browns, and if they would have liked to have had Peyton Manning for 4 years. So it's one of those things where you kind of have rich people problems, Broncos fans, and the ones that wanted to complain, I just wanted to tell them to take a hike.
Brandon Cristal joins us, 760 Denver Sports, on the legacy of Peyton Manning, at least in Denver. All right, Brandon, so Peyton Manning is, you know, during this season, as you mentioned earlier, he struggled and then lost his job and then he came back. A lot of people praise Peyton Manning for his professionalism. That's one thing people always kind of go to. Did he really handle all of that as well as people say he did?
Yeah, and I think the Broncos maybe, I don't say made a couple missteps, but went out of their way to protect him unnecessarily. DeMarcus Ware was hurt and traveled to Cleveland and was there with the team. Well, then Peyton wasn't going to travel to the Bears game. And so in order to make him look better, if you will, they made DeMarcus Ware stay back. And they're like, oh, he can get more treatment. Whereas he spoke to the team the night before the Cleveland game and I think motivated the team to some degree and is a guy that they liked having around. But they would do silly things like that. And at the same time, Gary Kubiak was quick every single week when Peyton wasn't going to have a chance to play. He would come out on Monday. He wouldn't even wait till Wednesday. He'd come out Monday after a Sunday game and say, no, Peyton's not ready this week. Rock's our guy. And so they were going out of their way to protect Peyton to that degree. But talking to folks in that organization, seeing Peyton around, knowing how hard he was working, just like everything that he did when he was playing, you thought if there was a chance, he was going to try to get back on the field. He wasn't just going to shut it down and maybe hope for one more year. And so even going into that week of the Chargers game, where he obviously came into the game in the second half for Brock Osweiler, you heard that he handled everything the way he was supposed to. I asked him, I think on Monday, just, you know, what his approach was going to be. And he said that he's never been a backup before, so he can't answer it until after the game. But obviously, he went into the game ready to go, and when he had to come in, he was able to help the team, give him a boost, make enough plays, and we know that the rest is history. But I think that the stories that talking to players that played with him and you know, his teammates and talking to folks around the organization was he approached it he was a good teammate. He was a good soldier. He wasn't pouting. He wasn't saying, well, why can't I start ahead of Brock now that I'm healthy? And so I think that will be remembered, especially down the road, when you look back at how things ended for Peyton Manning. And there was definitely some consternation between he and the organization at times, but I think that's just because everyone's competitive and everybody wants to win. I don't think it was ever personal.
This Super Bowl is going to be remembered for the phenomenal defense of the Broncos, but because Peyton Manning arrived and it does cap off the career and it does complete the mission of getting the Broncos a Super Bowl, in time, does this Super Bowl sort of mold itself into Manning's Super Bowl rather than just the defensive performance by the Broncos?
I don't know if it molds itself into Manning's Super Bowl, but it's always hard to predict legacy, if you will. I mean, you can try to figure out what someone means to the history of the game, and everyone's going to have their opinion. But I think when you look down the road and you look back on what Peyton Manning has meant to the game, he'll be credited with two Super Bowls. I mean, Peyton Manning was the quarterback of record. Even though he had a couple turnovers, he did enough to help his team win. And he not only completed the last pass he ever threw, but he completed it for a two-point conversion, a score to Benny Fowler. I think when you look back at his legacy and you list five MVPs, which may never be duplicated, the career touchdowns and yards mark, may actually get passed sooner than later if Tom Brady plays as long as he wants to or thinks that he might. There's nothing that makes us think that Tom Brady's going to be walking away anytime soon. And then with the way the game has changed, guys like Andrew Luck and maybe even Cam Newton and folks along those lines, Andy Dalton, are going to just accumulate huge numbers that Peyton may not end up having a lot of those records. But his influence on the game, I think, in large part, even as the rules have evolved to help the passing game anyway, but I think that'll be as big a legacy as anything else. But I don't think the Super Bowl will be counted against him, if you will. It does make it a nice story, though. He went to four Super Bowls and won two. I think winning two puts you in a bit of a different category with just a few guys like Roger Staubach and Troy Aikman, and then, of course, guys like Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw, and obviously Tom Brady. I think it puts you in that conversation and his boss, John Elway. So I think that measuring his legacy, it's too hard to do today, but it's going to be something where when we look back and he goes into Canton in 5 years, I think we'll have a better understanding of what he's truly meant to the game.
Great stuff. Brandon Cristal, 760 Denver Sports. Great having you on, my friend. Thank you so much.
Sure, Tony. Talk to you soon.
All right, coming up next, the criteria to determine greatest ever. It differs in every sport. What is it in football? We'll talk about that next. It's Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. If you want to join us on the career Peyton Manning, it's Yahoo Sports Radio.